Can we start with some testimonies from last night? Does anybody have anything they want to tell about what God did last night? I heard there were a testimony or two. I know there was one lady we prayed for last night, said her hand and arm was numb. Because I know last night you were saying that you had feeling again in your arm. You're the one. Okay. Anything else? Right. Amen. Now, what she's talking about is that Debbie had what might be called a word of knowledge. That's a spiritual gift operating where the Lord said, there's somebody that you're going to be able to pray for that's having pain or numbness in their hand. And so this lady responded to that, and then God healed. And like you said, it wasn't an instantaneous healing, but you continued to believe. And so within an hour or so, you were completely well. Wasn't there somebody else, Grace, that you had gotten a message they were healed? Yeah, so we had prayed. Now, where did she have pain? In her back. So she had back pain. Now, listen, that was a gift of healing that went into her body that healed her. It wasn't any of us. And this is what's interesting. There were several people praying for her. It wasn't just me and my wife, but there were others too. This is what's interesting about spiritual gifts. I wonder who the gift of healing came through. I wonder if it was all of us at once, or maybe it was you, or maybe it was you. We don't know, but we don't care. We just want God to move through us with spiritual gifts. And that's what I want to talk about some tonight. And I want to start in what might seem to you to be a strange place. Turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, and we're going to start in chapter 5. If I meet a Kenyan, and they said, you have to guess what my occupation is. If I guess that they're a nurse or a social worker or something like that, I got about a 50 or 60% chance of being right. Kenyans are very much focused on helping others. They want to minister to others in lots of ways. They want to be helpful. The Christian Kenyans that I come in contact with, they're interested in ministry. Most of them want to do some kind of ministry. Acts chapter 5, in verse 16, the apostles have been there in Jerusalem, and they've been teaching the people, but they were also praying for the sick. And it says, and also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. So God was working two kinds of miracles there. One was deliverance, or a deliverance healing, where people were set free from evil spirits, but they were also being healed. They were all being healed. Well, you say, well, that was just the apostles. Well, if you turn to Acts chapter 6, verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And then you turn over to chapter 8, verse 6, and we read about Philip. And the multitudes, with one accord, were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs or wonders which he was performing. Of course, Philip wasn't really performing those, was he? That was the Holy Spirit moving through Philip that was doing those things. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was much rejoicing in that city. And so it's very easy to say, okay, that's ordained ministry. That's deacons. That's apostles. That's folks like that. Turn to Mark 16. One of the things that we hear a lot is folks who are interested in ministry, they seem to think that there needs to be something special in order for them to be able to minister. We've met lots of folks, and you Kenyans will identify with this, folks that feel like, well, I have to be called pastor, or I have to be called evangelist, or I have to be called prophet or prophetess in order to be able to minister. I have to somehow be ordained in order to be able to minister or allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through me. I have to have gone to seminary or some kind of special training, something. My deep conviction is that that is absolutely not true. God wants every single believer to operate in gifts of the Holy Spirit and minister to those around them. You don't need a ministry with a name. You just need to be led by the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit use you. Let me show you the scripture that I think best of all describes this. It's in Mark 16. This is right before Jesus ascends back to the Father. And he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking to them about getting people saved. But then look at verse 17, what he says in Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs will accompany who? What does that say? These signs will accompany those who have been to 6 years of seminary. Is it? No. These signs will accompany those who are in ordained ministry. They've had hands laid on them by the presbyters. No, what does it say? These signs will follow those who believe. This is Jesus' heart. Every believer. I want every believer to have my heart and do what I was doing. And that is be able to what? These signs. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. You read down a little farther in verse 18. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. You may not be called pastor or prophetess or have a ministry name, but I'm telling you, when your baby gets sick, you need that gift of healing to be able to operate through you to touch that baby. When your grown child is not serving God and is on drug, you need the gift of intercessory prayer and supplications to flow through you so that you can pray for them so that God can change the path in their life. We all need gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing through us to change our lives and to change the lives of those around us. And God wants every one of us to be able to minister. Now, maybe you'll be able to minister in services. Maybe you'll be able to minister when you have caches or you have fellowships and home groups. But you know what? Your neighbors may need to be ministered to. Some have called this marketplace ministry. Those that you work with, they may be sick. You may get a chance to pray for them. And I tell you, we've watched this happen over and over again, that as we have stepped out in that kind of boldness, God moves and God does miracles. Now, I say all that to say I want to teach you just a little bit about spiritual gifts. I want to whet your appetite. And the concept is not that there are a bunch of spiritual gifts and maybe you might get one of them someday that becomes your gift. No, that's not the concept. There are many spiritual gifts. There are many gifts of the Holy Spirit that can operate. And the Lord wants every single one of us to be open to any gift at any time that He wants to move through us with. Okay? Let's see. Let's start with a scripture. Turn to 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Most people, when you start talking about spiritual gifts or gifts of the Holy Spirit, they say, oh yeah, you mean the 9 gifts that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. And yes, we will get to those, but I think there are a lot more spiritual gifts that operate than just those. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Some translations say supplications or intercessions. I believe that there is a gift of the Holy Spirit that relates to prayers and supplications and intercessions. Just like sometimes we pray in tongues, but sometimes we pray in our own understanding. Sometimes we pray in our own understanding, but other times we're not sure how to pray. We don't know what prayer to pray, and we need that gift of the Holy Spirit to bring a prayer through us. Now, to me, I love being able to just say, Father, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. That means I'm going to pray in tongues and let your Holy Spirit pray a perfect prayer through me, knowing exactly what your will is, and let Him accomplish that through that. But sometimes the Lord will show us how to pray. By the way, we're talking about Jesus ascended to heaven. So now what's He doing sitting at the right hand of the Father? What's He doing all the time? He's interceding on our behalf. Look, He has called us to do what He does, right? You can intercede some in your own understanding, but you need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate through you. This gift of intercession to either show you what to pray for or to show you who to pray for, or in some cases just tell you, you need to pray and now I'm going to lead you in the Spirit to pray. My mother was a great intercessor. She moved in this gift often. And it wasn't uncommon that when Debbie and I would be having some kind of difficulty in our marriage, finances, something would be happening. And sure enough, we'd get a phone call from my mother. So what's going on out there? Lord's really had me praying for you guys. And sometimes she would be praying very specifically. I remember one time my brother had gone off with some friends. The Lord showed her a picture of fire and my brother and his friends. And boy, she started praying right away. I mean, I think she was washing dishes at the time. And all of a sudden she sees this fire and the faces of these boys. They're teenagers at the time. And she starts praying for them, prayed in the Spirit for them, and prayed in her understanding for a couple of minutes. The Lord gave her a prayer to pray a prayer of protection over them. Well, when my brother gets home, I know Mzungus are white, right? But my brother is a little darker than I am. But when he got home, he was lighter than me. His mother said, what happened? Oh, nothing. Come on. There was a fire, right? And he goes, how did you know? The place they went had caught on fire and they had to jump out the windows to keep from getting burned. Listen, this is the gift of intercession. Let God move through you with that gift. The other day, I was going to pray for a fellow, and just out of the blue, I said, the Lord has told me he wants me to pray a prayer over your finances. And this guy goes, how did you know? I'm in great financial trouble. How did you know? Well, because the Lord gave me a prayer for you, for your finances. So that's that gift of supplication that operates through us and how to pray. There are gifts like dreams and visions. You remember the prophecy that Joel had about your young men will have visions, your old men will dream dreams. The other night, my sleep was disturbed by a spiritual dream. This was a gift of the Holy Spirit, gave me a dream about a friend that we have. And this person was making some mistakes with their finances. And the Lord told me exactly what it was, and he gave me a warning for this lady. And so I called her over to the house, and I told her about the dream and what it said. And she, you know, she kind of shook her head and said, that's exactly right. I needed that warning because I'm in trouble. And if I don't change what I'm doing, I'm going to be in trouble. Well, the Lord loved her enough, see, to give me that dream. Now, look, most of the dreams we have, they're just dreams. A lady called me the other day while I had this dream, and I hope you can help me interpret it. And she starts going on and on, and I mean, the scenes are changing, and it's confusing, and it on and on and on. And I finally stopped her. I said, I think you just had too much pizza and ice cream before you went to sleep. You know, I don't think that's a dream from the Lord. If the Lord gives you a dream, you usually know it's a dream from the Lord. It's not just something curious. It's something definite that the Lord is giving you. And listen, usually when he gives us dreams, there are two circumstances. One is it's obvious what that dream means and what we're supposed to do because of it. But the other situation is we have a dream and we're sure it's from the Lord and we don't know exactly what it means. At that time, don't call somebody else and say, hey, I had a dream. Help me interpret it. What God is doing is he's saying, I have left some mystery in that dream because I want you to seek me and for us to have this close relationship where you learn to hear from me. And so you seek the Lord about it. Let him see what he says. Sometimes we have visions. The other day, Grace called. There was another lady on the line that was having some difficulties, and she wanted us to pray for her, and we began to pray for her. And as we were praying for her, I was pacing there in the basement on the phone, and as we were praying for her, the Lord gave me a vision of a lady who was standing in the middle of a room, and she had her hands out like this, and she was sobbing and crying. I knew it was a Kikuyu lady. And this is who we were praying for. And so I shared that with her. I said, I see a vision, and I think this is a vision of you. And I shared that with her. And immediately she began to cry because she knew that was her, and she knew what she needed to do because of that. So we need to let the Lord give us visions. Now, sometimes the Lord gives us visions or dreams or prayers, and we're not sure it's coming from the Lord. So how do you learn to operate in these things where you learn to be positive, sure, every time that it's always from God? You don't. We're just human beings. We just do the best we can, okay? And so what you got to do is you practice. And so if you think you have heard something from the Lord, and especially if it's for somebody else, you talk to him about it. And you don't say, thus saith the Lord. And, you know, you say, look, I think this is what I heard the Lord say. And pretty soon you'll discover whether or not there was any truth in that. And you'll learn how to hear the Lord's voice. And you'll learn how, well, I think that must have been from the Lord. Or I think that must have been me. And you'll learn to tell the difference. One of the gifts that Paul talks about is word of knowledge. And so the other day, I was in a service, and the Lord gave me really two words of knowledge for someone in that service. I went to minister to those to her. And the first word, you know, I don't even remember what it was about now, the first word. But as I began to minister that word to her, she began to cry and shake her head. Yes, oh yes, that's for me. That's exactly what I needed to hear. And then the next word I gave to her, it was a picture the Lord had shown me of her working and struggling with some things at work. And the Lord was talking about how he was going to give her divine ideas on how to solve complex problems at work that nobody else could solve. And she just kind of looked at me as I was saying that and goes, uh-huh, okay. And I thought, well, I guess I missed it on that one. I got the first part right. And the second part was just kind of my own imagination. Well, after the service, I came to her and I said, by the way, what kind of work do you do? And she said, oh, I thought you knew. I'm the bishop's administrative assistant. Oh, yeah, what you were saying over me was exactly what I needed. But I thought that was just you talking to me. And she said, now I realize that was God talking to me through you. So you see, sometimes we're not sure. So you know what you got to do? You got to practice. And you got to give the Lord a chance to move through you. Take some chances. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at some of these other gifts. Kent, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians verse 12. There's another gift that is not obvious. I won't show you the scripture right now. It's a gift of compassion. This has happened to Debbie and others as well. Sometimes when you're praying for someone, what happens is the Lord gives you a little taste of the love and compassion that He has for them. And it's just nearly overwhelming. I mean, your heart just kind of feels like it's about to explode. And sometimes I'll begin to sob and cry, and all I want to do is just put my arms around them and hold them and hug them because of this great compassion. It's not coming from me. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is when the Holy Spirit moves through a human being to do what no human being could ever do. A spiritual gift is there to accomplish something supernatural. When we talk about gifts of healing, how many of you really have the ability to heal somebody? Any doctors here or nurses? You can't actually heal anybody, right? I mean, you can kind of take care of them. You can kind of give them some medicine, maybe do some surgery, but you can't really heal them. When the gift of healing flows, that's something supernatural, and it flows through us. It has nothing to do with how smart you are. It has nothing to do with your training or your abilities or your capabilities. As a matter of fact, those are all completely bypassed when a spiritual gift begins to move through you. Paul starts talking about these gifts, and he says, "For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge." Now, these two kind of go together. A word of knowledge is about data, is about something specific. A word of wisdom is, what do you do with that? I was in a meeting, a business meeting, a few years ago, and a upper level manager came into our district and was telling us some things that were going to happen in the company and how that was going to affect our district. And he got about 3 minutes into this speech about how things were going to change, and the Holy Spirit said, he's lying about that. We talk about spiritual gifts moving. It doesn't have to be about church. He was talking about how we didn't have to worry, there weren't going to be anybody laid off and these kind of things. And the Lord said, he's lying. And sure enough, 3 months later, they started laying people off. That's a gift of knowledge. Gift of wisdom is about when you have the knowledge, what do you do with it? And how do you use the knowledge that God has given you? There's another here in verse 9. It's about a gift of faith. That's not me thinking that God can do something. That is the Holy Spirit putting in my heart faith. Where I know that I know that I know that I know that it's going to happen. The other day we were in a service and it came time to start praying for folks, and the Lord pointed somebody out to me and said, they're sick and I'm going to heal them. And I mean, he dropped that gift of faith in my heart, and I knew that I could hardly wait to go pray for this guy. He had a hernia, by the way, and the Lord did heal him. He was in pain right then. The Lord set him free. He was supposed to have surgery. He didn't have to have surgery. But that faith didn't come from me. It came from God. And a lot of times we just have to pray, Lord, I don't know how to believe. You're going to have to let that gift of faith operate through me. Let's see. Next is gifts of healing. Last night we talked about how there are five kinds of healing, not just physical healing. Sometimes spiritual healing is needed. Sometimes emotional healing or healing of memories. Sometimes we need deliverance healing. So all kinds of healings. That comes from the Spirit of God. It flows through us. The next one is the gift of effecting or working of miracles. Anything that's done that is supernatural, that's outside the norm, that comes from this gift of working of miracles. And I want to tell you a story using Raymond and Gloria as an example. We all kind of have personal experience with, and Debbie and Mama Joyce do as well. So it came time for them to get married, and they thought, well, we're going to have a fairly small wedding, and Lawrence and I were going to marry them. But we planned for a reception of about 125 people. And you know how Kenyans do. The wedding reception is the Kenyan ladies in the church and the family get together and make food, right? Big aluminum pans. And of course, my favorites are the Mandazis. Anyway, so they planned for about 125 people. And you know how the Kenyans are. The wedding starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Yeah, right. So by 2 o'clock, enough people showed up and the bride finally showed up and we started the wedding. By 3 or 4 o'clock, we start the reception. By then, 400 people have showed up and the ladies start serving, and it didn't take long. They realized we're nearly out of food and they've just started going through the line. What are we going to do? And so the ladies back there in the kitchen get together and just pray to God. God, you've got to do something. Yeah, I mean, the men are running around. Well, should I go get some more 7-Up? I mean, where should I go? Where can I get? You know, in no place on Saturday you're going to be able to get the food. And so the ladies pray, God, you need to do a miracle here and multiply this food. And guess what? That gift of working of miracles flowed through those women. And as they touched the food and served the food, God multiplied it. And as sure as I am standing here before you, they will testify and confirm this, that when they finished serving everybody, they had as much food left as they did when they started praying. God multiplied that food. That's the gift of working of miracles. We all need spiritual gifts flowing through us at various times. We prayed and didn't have money, and God's put gas in the car. Amazing number of miracles. This is what God wants to do, and he does it through these spiritual gifts. Another spiritual gift that Paul mentions here is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is about not just words of knowledge or words of wisdom, but it is actually God communicating through someone to someone else, to a single person or to a group of people, to communicate to them something that he wants them to say. You look in the Old Testament and you see how the prophets did. They said, "Thus saith the Lord says." And again, maybe we're not quite always that confident, but it is okay to say, "I think I hear the Lord saying this to you," and to speak to them as if it's the word from the Lord. Well, let me tell you a story about that. So, Lord gave me a word for a teenage girl one time. Lord said, "If you don't change your friends and what you're doing, in a year, you'll be in jail." And this teenager goes, "I don't need that." Well, a couple of years later, I hear from her, and she said, "You know that warning you gave me? That was really from the Lord." And I listened to that, and I know that it was true. I would have been in jail if I'd continued doing it, but I didn't. I stopped what I was doing. Debbie gave a lady a prophecy one time about a baby. She's pregnant. She said, "The Lord says you're carrying a boy." And this lady, no, that would be cruel of God to give me a boy. She didn't want a boy. She wanted a girl. And she said, "Anyway, the doctor's already told me it's a girl." Debbie said, "No, the Lord says it's a boy." Well, guess what came out? A boy. She had to learn to live with that. But you know what the Lord was trying to do? The Lord was trying to prepare her heart. See, the Lord was trying to give her some time to get ready for the fact that this ain't going to be exactly the way you thought it was going to be. And I love you enough and care about you enough that I want you to be able to get ready for this. Let's see. The next one in the list here is distinguishing. It's what it says in my translation, distinguishing of spirits. Some translations talk about discerning of spirits. That gift is really used primarily for deliverance, healing, or to know when evil spirits are in operation. And matter of fact, that gift will help us know, is this an evil spirit or is this of God? And how many times in your life have you wished you could know for sure that this is a demon in operation and you would know what the demon is, or you know it's not a demon? This kind of thing has happened more than once, and so we've gotten used to letting God do these things for us. We went to a place to get some food, and it was a place where you go up to the counter and you order your food, and there were a couple of women back there to take your order, and then they'd prepare your food, and then there was a place to stand and eat. And so Debbie and I looked at the menu for a while, and we went up to the counter. We'd noticed other people were coming up to the counter, and they were taking their orders, and we were in another country. Anyway, we come up to the counter, and the ladies behind the counter just ignore us. At first, I thought, well, maybe it's because we speak English. Pretty soon, a little lady came up that spoke English, and they came right to her and took her order. And they just completely ignored us. I mean, we couldn't get their attention. Hello, hello. You know, this is strange. We're invisible. So this is not good. So Debbie and I pray about this right there in that restaurant. Lord, what is going on? And immediately, this distinguishing of spirits gift operated. And the Lord said, there's an evil spirit that has attached itself to them, and it doesn't want to deal with you. And we said, okay. And so under my breath, very quietly. Now I was about as far from these ladies as I am from the man sitting right back there in the corner. And the place was noisier than this is. And very quietly, I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give us favor. And then I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan. And as soon as I said Satan, one of the ladies behind the counter looked up and looked at me. She couldn't have heard me say that in her ear under any circumstances. But her spirit knew that I was about to bind him up and get rid of him. And I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you take your hands off this woman and you leave her and be gone from her. And she put her head back down and went back to work. Debbie and I walked up to that counter then after that short prayer. And immediately this lady comes right over to us, smiles real big as if we were her long lost children, and says, how can I help you? It was spiritual warfare at work. He says, I know that's a simple illustration, but it was spiritual warfare at work, and it was that gift of discerning of spirits that allowed us to know that. The next gift in line here is gift of tongues. I wish we had time to spend a lot of time with this and go over several scriptures about it, because I know there's a lot of controversy and questions in people's minds about speaking in tongues. Basically, there are two kinds of operations of this gift of speaking in tongues. One is more of a private function. Some people call it their prayer language, but it's more of a private prayer language. Like, for instance, when I'm praying for someone and I don't know how to pray for them, I want to pray for them in tongues because I know that that's the Holy Spirit praying through me. But there's also a public use of praying in tongues. That always is accompanied by this next gift here, which is interpretation of tongues. Yeah, I don't know if all of you have witnessed this or not, but you'll be in a service or you'll be in a meeting and somebody will speak in tongues quite loudly and they'll get everybody's attention. And then almost immediately after that, someone else will begin to speak in, for us, it would be English. For you, it might be Kikuyu or Swahili. And they would have the interpretation of what that message was in tongues. That's the public version of tongues. And Paul said, look, when you get into a church service, it's confusing if everybody is speaking real loud in tongues trying to get everybody else's attention. Don't do that. Do it with an interpreter and make sure that it's kind of done in order. And so some folks have said, oh, therefore we're not supposed to speak in tongues. Paul didn't say that at all. Matter of fact, there in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, don't forbid speaking in tongues. Matter of fact, Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. He said, because when a person speaks in tongues, they edify themselves, they build themselves up. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't speak in tongues every day. I'm telling you, if you want to really be effective in prayer, you need to be able to pray in the Spirit. You can't do that. You don't have that gift. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's another teaching, but seek that. This is what God wants. This is what opens that floodgate to allow God to begin to move through us with all of these spiritual gifts. I'll talk to you a little bit of just about how to minister. When we pray for folks, we often ask them what they want. What would you like Jesus to do for you? But no matter what they say, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes we may pray for them for a minute or two, just generally, or pray for them in tongues. And what we're doing is we're waiting to hear from the Lord. This is kind of the bad part of this, is that I don't control the spiritual gifts. And so if you come up to me and ask me to pray for you, and the Lord doesn't tell me how to pray for you, He doesn't give me a prayer for you, He doesn't give me a word of wisdom or reveal something to me about you and how to pray for you, I may just have to pray a general prayer. I don't control it. I can't be embarrassed. That's just how God does. Can't fake it. But you know what? What's wonderful is how many times somebody says we need prayer, and the Lord begins to reveal things to them. This happened last night, two or three times, where the Lord would reveal something through one of us, reveal something that they needed or needed prayer for, and it was like, how did you know that? Is somebody talking to you about me? No. The Holy Spirit's talking to me about you. That's what's happening here.